Recording. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Book of Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians, this New Testament book of the Holy Bible deals with everyday practical Christianity, and we come in our study of Second Corinthians to chapter 6 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible says there, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Okay? Our mouth is open. Okay, this is not a medical condition. This is a spiritual matter. Okay, it's what they call a Hebraism. It's a common expression used among the Hebrew people for speaking with liberty. It means to speak with liberty. Okay. And so let me give you a few other examples from the Bible on this. In Judges chapter 11, Judges 11 and verse number 35, the Bible says there, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. Okay. So He spoke boldly, he spoke with liberty, without reservation, unto the Lord. That's all that means. And Psalm 78 in verse number 2, Bible says there, I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. In Psalm 109 and verse 2, Bible says, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Okay. And I'll just give you a few more references here. I did put them in your notes. It's similar words you find in Proverbs 31:26, Ezekiel 24 verse 27, Ezekiel 29 verse 21, Matthew 5:2. And Acts chapter 8, verse 35, to open the mouth is to speak unto another with liberty. And he says here, we're speaking. We have a large heart for you, big heart. Okay. God has made our heart big enough to love you, to take you all in. And then in verse 12, 2 Corinthians 6, 12, the Bible says, ye are not straitened in us, and that the way that's spelled there without the GH, straitened, that is a narrowing, a constricting. Okay. Ye are straitened in your own bowels. Okay? Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. So he said there's a lack of love there. That's what he's saying. There's a lack of real relationship here, and it's not on our end, it's on your end. Okay. And so that is Paul addressing the church at Corinth. He said, yeah, there's a problem, and it's on your side. Verse 13, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. So he says, I want you to allow God to make your heart big enough to love us, just as he has made our heart big enough to love you. You know, people say all the time things like, well, I'm just not a very loving person. I'm just not a people person. I just wasn't raised to care about others and be concerned about others. Okay, well, why not allow God to give you a bigger heart? Why not allow God to enlarge your capacity for love, to make large your willingness to love? Why not let God do something in your life so that you are more with God than you would have been or could have been without God? Okay? That's the odd thing you see in people. You know, they say, well, I'm just not this. I'm just not that. I just never done that. Never been like that. And I wondered, don't you understand that the Holy Spirit of God Almighty lives inside of you? So could he not make you loving? Could he not make you bold? Couldn't he make you kind? Could he not give you victory over this habit or that vice? So many saved people, they live like the only thing they got out of being saved was a trip to heaven. You have the ability and the power as God works in you to be a better person than you would have been had you never been saved. So Paul, he's begging the church at Corinth, and in this epistle, the Holy Spirit is begging all of us to be enlarged. Let God make your heart bigger. And he will. Okay, verse 14 begins a passage that used to be a famous passage, used to be a familiar passage in the Bible, but it's one that sadly has found less use with each passing year. The Bible says, and hey, there's no mistaking the word of God here in this passage. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, so a yoke is a device whereby two beasts of burden may pull together for greater strength than either of them would have individually. Okay. And really, the way that that yoke is set up and the leverage and the physics of the matter, those two beasts of burden in that yoke are stronger than the two if you combined their strength. 1 + 1 = 2. In that yoke, it's almost like it's 1 + 1 = 3 or 4 or 5. It really increases their strength or their work ability in that yoke. Okay, and so you've probably seen the yoke, got the crossbar on the top, it's a round circular harness type device below that, and you slip it over the head of the two animals and they pull side by side. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Okay, so we are to be yoked up with Jesus Christ, and we are here told that we are permitted to be yoked up with believers. Okay, that's not forbidden, but how could you possibly enter into the yoke with an unbeliever when the unbeliever is obviously going to be pulling in a different direction than you are? The only possible way for you to be yoked up with an unbeliever is for the unbeliever to volunteer to go God's way, which will never happen. Or for the other option is for the believer to agree to go the way of the unbeliever. And that is what always ends up happening. The Bible says, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 3, Deuteronomy 7, verse 5, it says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. Okay, and it happens all the time. Brother, when you marry an unsaved woman, who's going to raise your children? Sister, when you marry an unsaved man, you say, well, but he's so wonderful. He loves me. He started going to church. He said he was going to change. But again, who's going to raise your children? It boggles my mind. It happens all the time. Here's a girl raised in a Christian home, goes to a Christian church. She says she's a Christian. She says she loves God. She's going to marry a boy that drinks, chews tobacco, cusses, has no interest in church, hadn't read a Bible in his life. And then she thinks when the two of them have babies, that their baby boy at 9, at 13, at 17 is not going to drink and chew tobacco and cuss and lay out of church and ignore the Bible. Hey, wake up, sister. God said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Brother, let me tell you something. I don't care how pretty that girl is. If she doesn't believe what you believe about Jesus Christ, about the Bible, about loving, living for the Lord, she will eventually break down your will, your resistance, your character. You will eventually abandon your beliefs to save your marriage or to live in peace in your home. Or you'll end up losing your marriage, and that isn't God's will either. So the Bible says very clearly, very forcefully, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's incredible to me. You see these men, they're probably saved men. They call themselves fundamental. They call themselves conservative, and they get a university going, or they get a college going, or they get some sort of political program going, and they start bringing in Jesuits and infidels and unbelievers because they share a political orientation or a social agenda. And these men think that they can yoke up with unsaved men and women in a political forum, and somehow they're going to be serving God or pleasing God. Hey, the Bible makes it very clear you are not to enter into labor with an unbeliever. You are not to yoke up with an unbeliever. It's crystal clear. And then verse 14 continues, be ye not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, this is a big deal in our day. You know, we just believe in fellowship. We just believe in unity. We just believe in love. Okay, I believe in fellowship. I believe in unity. I believe in love. I also believe in God's word, the Bible. Now listen, here's a man who believes that you were saved before you were born. You didn't have to trust Jesus Christ. You didn't have to repent of your sins. You didn't have to be born again. In fact, according to him, you couldn't do that. But God saved you by his irresistible grace and his sovereign election. And then one day he just let you know that you were saved so that you could argue with people that believe the Bible. Now, that's just not right. I am not going to abandon what is right. Okay. And what is right? That is, ye must be born again. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Believe on the Lord and thou shalt be, future tense, saved. Okay. It doesn't say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that proves you already were saved. Show me that verse. So I'm not going to pretend that I can have fellowship with people who don't believe the gospel. And then here's a man who believes that he turns on a faucet in the church baptistry. Water comes out, and then before anybody can blink their eyes, that water turns into the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's going to put you in the water, a lost man, and pull you up out of the water, a saved man, because you met the blood of Jesus in the water that nobody could see, nobody could detect, and no scientific experiment could prove. That's not right. Salvation is not by works. It is by grace. Salvation is not by water baptism. Hey, Jesus was baptized. Salvation is not by water baptism. Jesus said that he came to save, and he didn't baptize anybody. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, you listen to this. It is not non-Christian. It is not mean-spirited to refuse to fellowship with people that are not right. I don't hate them. I'm not going to wage war against them. I'm not going to call the radio station and try to get them thrown off the air, but we're not having fellowship. If you think that salvation comes by sacraments, if you think salvation comes by selling Watchtower magazines, if you think salvation comes by sprinkling water on a baby's forehead, you're wrong. And since I'm right and you're wrong, we can't have fellowship. But what makes you right? I just go by the Bible. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I believe all of that. I don't believe water saves. I don't believe sacraments save. I don't believe good works save. I don't believe that you're saved before you know you're saved. So if you believe any of that stuff, we have no ground for fellowship. Well, what if we just get together on something like some common thing like fighting abortion? We're not going to all get together to fight abortion. You can go fight it over there, and I'll fight it over here, but I'm not going to go get arm in arm and go marching down the street with a man in a bathrobe with his shirt collar on backward and a dead Jesus hanging around his neck, because that's not my crowd. We don't have any fellowship. The end of verse 14 says, "And what communion hath light with darkness?" But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." Okay, so if you believe a social gospel that salvation comes by good works and not through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you think feeding the homeless and housing orphans and fighting for the rights of the criminal and building habitats for humanity, you think that's going to earn you a place in heaven? Okay, I appreciate your good works. I appreciate your noble activities, but you're lost. You're living in darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, not your good works. So we can't walk together. You're in the darkness. I'm in the light. I'm not going to be, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to go out of my way to be mean to you. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to punch you in the nose. I'm going to be nice and kind. I'll open the door for your wife. I'll be polite to you when we meet. But I'm not joining your league or your association or contributing to your cause or encouraging people to go to your church. You're in the darkness. I'm in the light. Verse 15, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Okay. I'm not going to join a prayer service with a rabbi who denies Jesus Christ as God come in the flesh, and an imam that denies Jesus Christ as God come in the flesh, and a female Protestant minister who denies the literal truth of the Word of God. I'm not going to get on the platform and share prayers with a Protestant who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born, who doesn't believe the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the only cleansing agent from sin. I'm not going to do it. That doesn't make me mean. It doesn't make me hateful. It doesn't make me a bad man. I just believe God. And the God I believe said some people are sincere, but they're wrong. Some people are sincere, but they're in error. Some people are sincere, but they're worshipers of a false God. And so I'm not participating in their religious or their social activities. Now, you Christians who want to get all wrapped up and all caught up in politics, tell me something. what candidate out there, I don't care what party, what candidate out there is worth you joining ranks with Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Calvinists, Jesuits, baby sprinklers, and the rest of that crowd? You say, yeah, but they're moral. Everybody's got morals. You say, but they're conservative. What are they trying to conserve? There's something far more important than legislation, and that is the word of God. How about it? Well, brother, I just think you're wrong. That's okay. Then don't walk with me. Don't fellowship with me. Try to silence me if you want. Show everybody how broad-minded and tolerant you are by trying to get everybody that disagrees with you silenced. I do not have any ground for concord, a concordant, an agreement with somebody that denies that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I have no ground of concord with people who believe in purgatory or limbo, or who keep paying pedophiles who call themselves fathers to continue in the ministry. I have no ground of concord with a church that relocates child molesters, or with a church that supports and embraces a preacher that ran off with another man's wife. Now, that doesn't make me a bad man. I'm just trying to obey God. I want to. The Bible says in Job chapter 27, verse 5, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Okay. All right. So hold on to your integrity. Don't compromise with these unbelievers. God said, for example, let the women keep silent in the church. God said the woman ought to be in subjection to the man, not teach a man, not usurp authority over a man. So I don't care how blessed you are by your woman pastor, by your woman preacher, we have no ground of concord. I believe the Bible. She doesn't, obviously. That doesn't make me a bad man. I'm not going to try to hurt her. I won't throw food on her in the restaurant. I won't tell lies about her. I'll not mistreat her children. I'm just saying we've got no ground of fellowship. Okay, hope you understand that. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? How in this world are you going to accomplish something for Jesus Christ by cooperating in that effort with people who don't believe Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be? Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Is Jesus Christ God manifest in the flesh? Oh, no, he was just a great teacher. Well, we're done then. We're done. Was Jesus Christ physically, bodily raised from the dead 3 days after he died for the sins of the whole world? Oh, well, you know, we're not sure about that. Then we've got no ground for agreement. Is there a literal burning hell for unbelievers? Well, we think it's more just like a kind of a sad place where you're separated from God. Well, then we've got no ground for agreement. You are an infidel. You don't believe the Bible. Now look, if you choose not to believe the Bible, help yourself. It's up to you. I'm not going to shoot you. I'm not going to put you in jail. I'm not going to burn you at the stake. I'm not going to ask somebody to torture you, but I'm not sending you any money. I'm not going to recommend your church to anybody. We have no ground of fellowship. If you join yourself with what is going to be judged, you give the impression that it isn't going to be judged. Okay. You understand that? What about your testimony? What are you teaching others when you yoke up with people who don't believe? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So again, I'm not going to put my body in a church that bows down to statues, lights candles, burns incense to statues, says prayers in front of statues. Now, if you want to do that, go ahead. But we're not doing it together. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay, so there's a relationship to be had there. You give up that relationship when you fellowship with people that God will not fellowship with. When you have communion with people that God won't have communion with. When you take part with people that God won't take part with. Verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, so don't roll in the mire with the pigs. It won't please the pigs. It'll just get you dirty. One cannot honor Christ and walk with those who dishonor Christ. Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay. Now I'm born again. I'm a child of God, but I want to enjoy his fellowship. I want to enjoy his company, and I am not going to enjoy his fellowship or his company if I walk with people with whom he will not walk. It's not going to happen. If I spend my time in places that he will not go, the Bible's very, very clear on this. You couldn't miss it unless you really wanted to. Sure, you can deny it. You're lying, though. You can say you don't like it. You can get angry about it. But you can't say that you don't know what it means. And you can't say that it's not what the Bible says, because it is what the Bible says, and you know exactly what it means. It's not that hard to understand. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Okay, don't you go hanging out with sinners thinking that that's going to make the sinners quit sinning. All that's going to do is make sinners think they don't have to quit sinning, because you claim to be a Christian and you're doing what they do. You go where they go. The Bible says in Numbers 19, verse 22, and whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean. Well, man, I don't want that. I don't want to be unclean because I joined hand in hand with an unclean person. Deuteronomy 7, God said, don't make marriages with them. They'll turn you away. He says, destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people. God wants you to stay holy. Don't touch the unclean thing. Okay. God wants, clearly, he wants separation. Now he wants unity among the true saints. He wants fellowship among true believers. He wants us to walk hand in hand and work side by side, those of us who believe the Bible to be the word of God and believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and about salvation. But this business of everybody getting together just so we feel good and pretending it doesn't matter what you believe, pretending it doesn't matter what the Bible says, pretending it doesn't matter what way to heaven a person sets out on. And that as long as we just say nice things about God and smile and say nice things about Jesus, we're all one big happy family. We're not one big happy family. There is one way to heaven, and that is you putting your faith in the finished work of God manifest in the flesh, the virgin born, sinless, crucified, risen, ascended, exalted, soon coming, eternal creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't believe in that Lord Jesus Christ, and you've not been saved by putting your faith and your trust in that Lord Jesus Christ, and you think you can be saved by any good works or any religion, we cannot enter into a yoke together. That's the Bible. I know that offends people, but I've not been offensive. I've just been telling the truth here. And so if you're offended, I guess I have to say that's your problem. It's not mine. And I hope you get on your knees if it is a problem for you and talk to God about it sincerely, sincerely. And he'll help you to see the truth. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for warnings. It's a very important warning because we know that it does great damage, causes great hurt in marriages and families and other associations. Lord, we want to avoid those things. We want to have the blessings that you want us to have by working with people who love you the way we do, love your truth, love your Bible. And so Lord, help us not to be a compromiser when it comes to the word of God ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.